To your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 16. 1 Corinthians 16, as you probably can tell, is the last chapter of the book of 1 Corinthians. It's sort of a summary of Paul's thoughts, and while we are going to be reading, the young people may be dismissed to their junior church. So at this time, they may be dismissed, anyone that would like to go. All right, 1 Corinthians chapter 16, we're going to look at verses 13 and 14. Watch ye, stand fast in the faith, quit you like men, be strong, let all your things be done with charity. Since it's a short passage, why don't we all read it together, okay? Here we go, and if you are reading a different version, just take the one in your bulletin and you'll have it there. Together, watch ye, stand fast in the faith, quit you like men, be strong, let all your things be done with charity. Let us look to the Lord in prayer. Father, we ask you that you would teach us from your word this morning. We ask you, Father, that we indeed would be a lighthouse, and that, Father, we would be receivers of your word and doers of your word. For it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. I guess that throughout the years that I had heard the Canadian national anthem, but I never paid much attention to it until I married a Canadian. And then I paid very great attention to it. And I must confess to you that I have always been a very patriotic American, and to the detriment of any other country. And so I would tend to laugh and make fun of the Canadians, eh? And but I've come more and more to great appreciation of the land of Canada. But their theme song, their patriotic anthem is, O Canada, we stand on guard for thee. We stand on guard for thee. The Apostle Paul here tells us, he lays down five very short, staccatic military commands. These are imperatives. What to do in days like these? What to do in days like these? These are imperatives. Now, if you know your English grammar, you know that a imperative or an imperative is a command. You are to do it. This isn't a suggestion. This isn't something that you ought to think about. This is something that you are to do. Of all the churches that the Apostle Paul wrote to in the New Testament, this church he wrote the most to. In the 1st and 2nd Corinthians, if you combine those chapters, there are 29 chapters, the largest of any book in the New Testament. 29 chapters. And there are at least two other letters that the Apostle Paul wrote to the church at Corinth that we don't have in the Holy Scriptures. And so there was a lot of issues. There were a lot of problems in the church at Corinth. No other church is so rebuked as this one. This book is loaded with rebuke, but it is also loaded with love. If you remember 1 Corinthians 13, that's the what chapter? The love chapter, isn't it? And so in this book filled with rebuke, it is also filled with love. In 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 14, he says, I write not these things to shame you, but as my beloved sons, I admonish you. My beloved sons. He wants to show his love to them by his admonishment. The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 6, whom the Lord loves, he chastens. You know, a lot of people I've heard say such things, I could never spank my children. I love them too much. Can I tell you this morning that they don't love their children enough. Because if they loved their children, they would do as the Word of God says. And so, whom the Lord loves, He chastens. And you know, I always thought Hebrews 6:12. I knew that. I knew it was in Hebrews. Not always would I be able to tell you chapter and verse. But you know, it was funny when I looked at this and was considering this, I found that Proverbs chapter 3, verse 12, and Revelation verses chapter 3, verse 19 says the same thing. Basically, whom the Lord loves, He chastens. And if we love someone, we are going to correct them. If Paul did not love them, he would ignore them. If Paul did not love them, he would not rock the boat. If Paul did not love them, he would not want the pushback that he was going to take as a result. So Paul has rebuked them throughout the 1st and 2nd Corinthians. Rebuke, yes, but it was the rebuke of love. He writes them to be able to shake them out of their sinfulness, and he talks to them about the problems that he knows about. For the first 14 chapters in the book of 1 Corinthians, he writes to straighten out their behavior. Their behavior was wrong. But not only was their behavior wrong, their theology was wrong. In chapter 15, and if you've been with us at all, chapter 15 of the book of 1 Corinthians is all about the resurrection. If Christ be not risen, your faith is in vain. If Christ be not risen, our preaching is vain. We have no hope. We are of all men most miserable. And so then he comes to chapter 16 and he's closing with some things. And in these, among these things, he concludes with these five short little statements, these imperatives, these commands. And so as we look at them, and today all we're going to look at is watch ye. Can you say that with me? Watch ye. It's a command. Watch ye. He wants you to watch. He wants you to be aware. He wants you to be alert. And so this basically is all the positives to the negatives he said in the first 15 chapters. You know, if he could have just started with these and been done with it, it would have been a very short book, but it's not. It's not. He corrects them and he says, in summation, here's the positive. You want to know how to deal with these things? Watch ye. He turns the tables. He says, don't do this for 15 chapters. Now he says, do this. And so when we look at the words there, watch ye, it means stand fast or stand guard there. Watch ye, and then the next one is stand fast in the faith. Quit ye or act like men. Be strong. Let all your things be done with charity. If they had just responded to those five things. And so we want to take the first one, watch ye. Be alert. Be alert. Be on guard. The Greek word for watch ye is, it's just one word. It's Gregorio. I was hoping that Greg would be here this morning and see if he knew what his name meant. He's in the nursery this morning. You know, sometimes people get put in the nursery, and I don't know that they're even here, so we're thankful to the Lord for that. But Greg, so you need to go up to him and say, Greg, do you know what your name means? See if he knows. And so what does Greg mean? It means watch. Watch. And so watch or be alert. To be awake as opposed to being asleep. Turn with me, if you will. Keep your finger there, although you probably can remember watch ye. Let's turn to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. 2 years ago, we were memorizing 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 as our camp verses. And I might mention, remember Romans 8, you're to be memorizing for camp. But I decided I would go ahead and memorize 1 Thessalonians 5 as well. And as I was studying this passage and saw that these two verses were there, 1 Thessalonians 5, 6 says, therefore, let us not sleep as others do, but let us watch and be sober. Be watch and be sober. And then if you'll look at verse 10, it says, it's speaking about the Lord Jesus Christ who died for us, that whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with Him. And so the idea there was it says, whether we wake, we be awake. And so to wake is to be awake is to watch. And the word Gregorio is translated to be awake, to be alert. In this text of Scripture in 1 Thessalonians 5, we have both cases, we have it a spiritual case and we have it a physical case. Be alert, be aware, watch. And we are to make a determined effort to be alert. Now that can be a difficulty, can it? In my younger years especially, I drove and drove and drove a lot. We would drive to Canada in one way. And I can remember about 3 o'clock in the morning going, anybody else do that kind of thing when they're driving? I wasn't being alert. I wasn't being awake. I'd have to go and shake my wife and say, can you drive some? Can you drive some? And we are to be, it takes an effort to be alert, to be awake. The idea is to know what is going on around you. When it says, watch ye, be alert to what is going on around you. In the New Testament, this word gagereo is used 22 times. The Christian life is to be a life of alertness. I heard the statistics this last week that 80% of evangelicals, now I hope you know what an evangelical is. The word doesn't mean much anymore, I'm afraid. But an evangelical typically has meant somebody who believes the Bible and who has put faith and trust in Jesus Christ and Him alone. I heard this statistic that 80% of evangelicals say this is an important election, but only 40% of them plan to vote. That doesn't make sense. There's no alertness there. You say, well, there appears to be alertness, there appears to be awakeness, there appears to be a watching, because they know it's an important thing, but they don't do anything about it. And folks, that's not being watching. That's not watching. That's being alert. We've got to be alert. We've got to be awake. We have to have our senses acute to understand what is going on, to evaluate and to see what needs to be done. In 1 Chronicles chapter 12, verse 32, it said that the men of Issachar were, they knew the times and they knew what to do. They knew the times and they knew what to do. They were watching. They were alert. They are awake. The visible church, I'm afraid, in the United States does not understand what's going on. The church in Corinth, and if you turn back to your Bible to 1 Corinthians, the church in Corinth, they had problems. And one of their problems were drunkenness. Now, when you're drunk, can you be alert? And it's not our purpose or goal. How much alcohol does it take not to be alert? Well, I've got my opinion, and that is that one will dull the senses. One will cause a stupor. And so we have here, they had problems with each other, not only with drunkenness. They were arguing with one another. And the enemy was making further inroads into their midst. And when we are not alert, Satan can make his move. My uncle, he was a pastor, and he loved to come down, and he loved to play chess. And he'd say, oh, Jimmy boy, let's get the chessboard out. And soon I got him to do it with my son because Jimmy got much better at it than I was. Let's get to the, and he'd take a chess piece and he'd move it here. He said, no. And he'd take a chess piece and move it here. No. Then he'd check it, no. And then he'd do something totally different. You see, he was misdirection. And if we are not alert, Satan uses misdirection. If we are not alert to Satan, if we're not alert to temptation, if you're not alert to the needs that are around you, then you're going to be blindsided. And that is a good reason never to take in anything that's going to bring you under its power. Perhaps it would be alcohol. Perhaps it would be drugs. Perhaps it would be food. Perhaps it would be TV. Perhaps it would be music. But these people were not only in a physical stupor at times, they were in a spiritual stupor. They were not alert. I'm going to take you through a little journey in the book of 1 Corinthians here this morning. So if you'll turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 5, 1 Corinthians chapter 5. I'll give you a moment to get there. 1 Corinthians chapter 5, because then we're just going to walk through it and see where they were not alert at all. I told you that Paul, when he says watch, he is the positive. Now we're going to give you the negative that he's showing. They're not alert at all. 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 6. And it says there, your glorying is not good. Know ye not, or don't you know? That's how we would say it today. Don't you know that a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump? It said, you don't know that a little leaven leavens the whole lump. It's amazing. We go to camp and we have calzones. One of the things that you do at calzones, you have to get the bread. And we don't make the dough, but we get the pizza dough from Sam's Club over there. And they put it up on top of the oven and let it sit. And if you're not aware, if you're not alert, it just comes bubbling over. It just comes bubbling over. Why? Because it has leaven in it. And that leaven, you don't have to put a lot of leaven in the dough to make it grow. Just a little bit. And he says, don't you know that a little leaven leavens the whole lump? He says, don't you know that you can't let sinners in the fellowship without having an effect on it? Don't you know that countenancing evil and sin will influence the whole situation? Turn with me, just go down to verse 11. Verse 11 it says, but now have I written unto you not to keep company if any man that is called a brother be a fornicator or covetous or an idolater or a railer or a drunkard or an extortioner, with such an one know not to eat. I want to just stop there for a moment. What is interesting to me, you know, we say, oh, look at the drunk down on the street. Look at the immoral sexual person down there. We shouldn't have anything to do with that. That's not what that verse says. Do you notice who it says not to have anything to do with? It says that one who is called a brother. A brother. If there's a person who claims to be a Christian and claims to be a member of the church, claims to, and he's doing those things, those are the ones that you are to say, we can't have fellowship with that one. We can't do those things. And then verse 12, for what have I to do to judge them also that are without? Do not ye judge them that are within? But them that are without, God judgeth. Therefore put away from among yourselves that wicked person. He says, judge those in your midst. Discern those. Man, that's not kosher with the popular crowd today. What do you hear all over? Don't judge, don't judge, don't judge. Jesus said, judge righteous judgment. Judge righteous judgment. Turn over with chapter 6. Chapter 6, verse 2. Do you not know that the saints shall judge the world? And if the world shall be judged by you, are you unworthy to judge the smallest matter? Know ye not that we shall judge angels? How much more things that pertain to this life? If then ye have judgments of things pertaining to this life, set them to judge who are at least esteemed in the church. And so he tells us here, why can't you take care of matters in the church? God has granted you authority. Why do you go to a pagan judge? Why do you have lawsuits among yourselves? And so he says, don't you know that a little leaven, you can't let just a little leaven in? Don't you know that you're supposed to judge sin in your midst? Don't you know that God has given you the authority to judge in the kingdom? And you ought to certainly take care of the affairs and not drag believers into court. Look at verse 15 in chapter 6. He says, don't you know, know ye not, that your bodies are the members of Christ? Shall I then take the members of Christ and make them the members of a harlot? God forbid. It's the strongest way to say no in the Greek language. It doesn't say God, it doesn't say forbid. It says it shall never be. It shall never be. And it says, don't you know that your bodies are the members of Christ? Verse 16 then, it says, what? Don't you know that he which is joined to an harlot is one body? For two, saith he, shall be one flesh. Verse 19, He says, what? Don't you know that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own? Your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. The problem that the Corinthians had was they didn't know. They didn't know. You know what is amazing to me? In our church world today, most Christians don't know. They don't know the Word of God. You can't be alert if you don't know. They were in a spiritual stupor. 1 Corinthians chapter 8. Turn over there with me if you will. 1 Corinthians chapter 8 verse 9. It says, but take heed lest by any means of this liberty of yours becomes a stumbling block to them that are awake. Take heed. Wake up. Watch. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 12. It tells us, wherefore, let him that thinketh he standeth, what? Take heed, lest he fall. And then in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 1, he says, now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I would not have you to be ignorant. Ignorant. The inference is, but you are. You're ignorant. That's why I've got to tell you these things. You can sum up the whole problem that the church at Corinth in chapter 6, verse 12, where it says, all things are lawful, but all things are not expedient. All things are lawful, but I will not be brought under the power of any. The Corinthians were in a stupor because they were brought under the power of everything. They were victims of everything, every human philosophy, every wrong kind of human behavior. They were victims because they weren't alert, because they didn't know. You say, well, they're poor church. They don't have any resource. They've had plenty of resources. That's why in chapter 15, go over with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 34. He says, awake to righteousness and sin not, for some have not the knowledge of God. I speak this to your shame. Awake to righteousness. He's calling them to wake up, to watch. But what are we supposed to watch for? I want to give you six things quickly. Six things that we're to watch for. First of all, the Bible says that we're to watch for Satan. 1 Peter 5:8. Another verse you ought to memorize. I'm going to turn there so I don't mess it up for you. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 18. It says there's the 5 verse 8, excuse me. 5 verse 8. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, what's an adversary? It's somebody that's your enemy. It's somebody that's against you. It's somebody that's trying to bring you down. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. Who is it that he wants to devour? It's the one that's not watching. If you're not watching, if you're not aware, if you are not awake, if you are not vigilant, Satan looks to devour you. You need to understand how he operates. He operates with the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life. Brethren, Satan doesn't have any new strategies. It's the same strategies over and over and over again. The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. He's packaged them differently. There's nothing new under the sun. He hasn't got any new tricks. It's all the same lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. And you ought to be aware of it and not be trapped because he's going around looking whom he may be devouring. So watch out for Satan. Secondly, watch out for temptation. Watch out for temptation. Mark chapter 14, verse 38, Jesus said, watch and pray lest you enter into temptation. You better be alert to temptation. The angles that Satan has are misdirection. Many think they can expose themselves to everything without it having affect you. I've told you this story before, but I think it's apropos. When we lived in over in Cape Canaveral for a year, they were still having a big industry of scallops. They would go out and scour the bottom of the ocean, and they would bring in scallops. Scallops are about this big around, at least these were, and they would open them, get the little piece of meat out of them, and they would literally have mounds of shells as tall as the roof of this ceiling. And you could go out there, and because they were scraping the bottom, they were getting all kinds of beautiful shells. Not only the scallop shells, but they were getting these beautiful shells. And if you went digging into these mountains of shells, you could come home with beautiful shells. The problem is, when you came home, you stunk like the piles of shells that were there. And when you first went in there, you're gagging and choking and all, but you're getting, hey, look at this one, hey, look at that one. So I'd come home with this big bucket of shells. And my wife said, don't you dare come in here. You take all your clothes off. And I don't even remember how I did that, but you don't come in here with those stinking clothes on. I didn't even know it. I said, what's the problem? Everything smells good. And we're not even aware, because that temptation just creeps up on us. We think we can expose ourselves to that stink and that it will not affect you. It will hurt you if you expose yourself to a temptation. Watch. Keep your eyes open. Another illustration of that is radiation. You know, they take x-rays. Well, you don't even know that something's happening to your body, but they tell me you're not supposed to be exposed over and over and over to x-rays, that it will affect you as the accumulation of those things. Proverbs chapter 6, verse 27 says, can a man take fire in his bosom and his clothes not be burned? The answer is no, you can't do that. You can't do that. Thirdly, we're to watch out for apathy and indifference. The church at Sardis in the book of Revelation chapter 3 says, you have a name that you live, but you are dead. Watch. Watch and strengthen the things that remain. Listen, a church, a person that floats into apathy, that gets smug and self-content and apathetic and indifferent to the things of the Lord. Jesus said, I'm going to come like a thief in the night in judgment against you. Folks, beware. Watch for apathy. Don't think you can just smugly plop yourself down and do your own thing without any recourse. God will chasten you. You know why? Because whom God loves, he chastens. Did you know an unbeliever can get away with things that you can't? Listen to this again. You know, you say, oh, well, they're getting away with it. I'm going to do that too. If you're a believer, no, you can't. You know why? Because you have a heavenly Father that says, that's my child, and I'm not going to allow him to do that. And so don't think you can follow an unbeliever. Don't get to the place where you're comfortable with your sin and you're no longer trying to deal with it. If that is your state, you're really in trouble. So watch out for apathy. Fourthly, watch out for false teachers and false doctrine. And we could speak all day concerning that. In writing to Timothy, Paul says in 2 Timothy, there's going to be people who come along who aren't going to teach sound doctrine. Folks, can I ask you, I know we're in the day of digital. Bring your Bible. Bring your digital device. Make sure that the preaching from the pulpit is according to the Word of God. You say, well, there'll never be a problem. And I pray God there'll never be a problem. I pray God that I'll never fall into error. But can I tell you, there are churches all over this nation that people aren't hearing the truth of the Word of God, and they don't even know it. Why? Because they're not comparing it to the Scriptures. Watch out for false teachers. Paul told Timothy that it was coming. Some of the false teaching today, believe it or not, is on the very core of the gospel, justification. People are saying that the way you are saved is by doing works. Can I tell you, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy He has saved us. There's a false view of chastisement out there. If you have problems in your life, anybody got problems in your life? I think all of us can raise our hand. There is a theology and a teaching out there, if you've got problems, you're in sin. If you're sick, you're in sin. If you don't have enough money, you're in sin. Folks, that's contrary to the Word of God. And then on the other end of the spectrum, there's people say, if you're rich, you must be blessed by God. Some of the richest people I know of are the most damned and going to face damnation. Just because somebody's rich, just somebody's going has no problems. The psalmist said, I was envious at the wicked until I considered their end. And so there's a false theology of chastisement. There's a false view of the church. Some would say, oh, the church is just an add-on. It's an appendage. It's something that if you want to be involved in or if you want to be a part of, that's fine. But it's not really essential. And then there's others that say, well, they need to know every dime you make, and they need to know every deed you do, and they need to know, folks, both are wrong. Both are wrong. The church is a living, growing organism that we are to be a part of and that we are to be dealing with. And so there is false teaching on both ends of the spectrum. And so we're to watch, be aware of false doctrine. Number five, the Bible tells us to watch in prayer. Peter said in 1 Peter 4:7, watch in prayer. Ephesians 6:18, praying always, all prayer and supplication, watching thereunto with all perseverance. We are to watch in prayer. You cannot pray without knowing what's going on. You need to be aware. You need to be alert. God wants you to pray. You know, and I'm as guilty as anybody else, but sometimes our prayers are, God, bless the church. God, bless the nation. God, bless the city. God, bless, God, bless, God, bless. Lord, help us. Lord, help. God, what are we asking for? Lord, so-and-so's got this problem in their marriage. Lord, so-and-so's got this problem in their health. And to be aware and specific and to pray. You remember Jesus on the night in which he was betrayed? He goes and said, what, can you not watch with me 1 hour? So we're to watch in prayer. And lastly, we're to watch for the Lord's return. Folks, Jesus is coming again. And I don't know when, and I hope that it's in my lifetime, but we are to be watching for the Lord's come. Matthew chapter 24, and you can read that, several other passages, it says, the Lord is coming. Watch, because you don't know the day nor the hour. Watch. You say, well, I didn't see him today. He didn't come today. It means watch your life. Look how you're living. You live in expectation of his coming. You only have so much. I heard somebody again today, I think it was Mr. Lane, they were talking to Mike, and they said, you know, it was a year ago. Said, it's been a year already? I thought maybe 6 months, a year ago. I'm looking at my grandchildren, and I said, where'd all the time go? My kids were those ages at one time. Where's it all going? Time is going quickly. Talked about Dustin. Man, where's the time going? You only have so much time, folks. And you don't know how long that's going to be. Some of you, I look at Ms. V, 95 years old, wonderful. I think of Buddy, 70. You know, I used to think that was really old. Not so much anymore. We only have so much time. Watch ye, be alert. The Corinthians blew it. They were not alert. They were constantly being victimized by Satan. They were victimized by temptation. They were victimized by apathy and indifference. They were victimized by false teachers. They were victimized because they were prayerless. They were not ready for the Lord's return. They even got to the place where they were denying the resurrection. Can you even imagine a church denying the resurrection? Just go down the street. There's churches all over this city and all over this nation that are denying the literal resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's nothing new, folks. Nothing new. So Paul says, look, reverse all these things by watching. How do you do that? You do that by the Word of God. Look in this book. It's like a microscope that reveals to us the dealings of Satan, but more importantly, the grace that God has given to us. Watch right in this book and then apply the principles that are found in it. You see, the Word of God is profitable for doctrine, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God might be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. It's a window. It's your window to look in which you ought to watch. Watch Satan. Watch for temptation. Watch for apathy. Watch for false teachers. Watch in prayer. Watch for the Lord's return. Watch ye. Let us pray. Father, we pray that our church would not be like the church at Corinth. That we would know, that we would be aware, that we would be alert. Father, whether it be collectively or whether it be as individuals, we ask you that we would be watching, that we would be alert for the schemes of the devil, that we would be alert for false teaching, that we'd be alert for apathy in our lives. Father, that we would be alert, waiting and watching and living in the light of your coming. Thank you, Lord. And we'll give you the thanks and praise, for it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.